I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, October 17th, and today we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll cover a lot, from the potential impact of President Trump's latest nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, to the pros and cons of what's known as packing the court. Joining me to break it all down is Tom Dupree. He was a U.S. Justice Department official from 2007 to 2009, who served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General. He's taken part in plenty of high-profile cases, and Chambers & Partners has named him one of the leading appellate lawyers in the U.S. for the last 8 years in a row. He's often a guest as a legal analyst on national media, ranging from Fox News to MSNBC, and he's a partner at the private practice Gibson Dunn. So here's our conversation about the state of the U.S. Supreme Court right now and the process to fill its vacant seat on the bench. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Tom, thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So we heard Senator Lindsey Graham acknowledge this earlier this week, but basically we kind of know Republicans for the most part are going to vote yes and confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and Democrats will be voting no. If that's true, what's really the point of the 2 days of questioning and all of these hearings?
Well, that's a great question. And look, Senator Graham is right, I think, in that for the most part, the senators probably knew which way they were going to vote on this nominee the minute that her candidacy was announced. And so there is kind of an element of kabuki theater to all of this, and that the outcome, I don't want to say it's predetermined, but people have a pretty good sense of the way it's headed. That said, I think that there is value in, if nothing else, allowing the American people to see the nominee for themselves, to see how she responds to questions, to get a sense of what she would be like as a justice on the Supreme Court, and above all, to get a sense of how she thinks about the law and the Constitution.
Do you think the tone of the hearings was more political or different in any way because it's an election year?
You know, I'm sure that amped it up a little bit, but I got to tell you, if you look back at the past few confirmations, they've all been politicized. Every time we go through this, in some ways, it seems to get worse in that, you know, the Republicans get their backup and the Democrats get their backup, and politics seems to overwhelm the whole process, or at least to a large extent. So look, the fact this is an election year, obviously that inflames people's passions all the more, but this process has been politicized for a long time, and I think you'd still see the same political passions coming to boil, even if there weren't a presidential election around the corner.
And speaking of an election year, there are really two issues that have come up because of that. One of the controversial issues has been confirming a nominee so close to an election day. Can you talk about the pros and cons of doing that?
Sure. Well, on the pro side of the ledger, the argument would be, look, there is a seat that needs to be filled. Ideally, you would not have a Supreme Court that's operating in a shorthanded fashion. If nothing else, when you have only eight justices, it raises the danger of a 4-4 tie. So there certainly is the argument that, look, the president has the constitutional duty to put people on the court, the Senate has a constitutional duty to vote on them, and we need to fill the seat. On the other side of the ledger, the argument would go, look, we are so close to a presidential election. This is a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court. Why wouldn't you let the next president make the decision who to put on the court? This, of course, was the argument that the Republicans successfully made back when Merrick Garland had been nominated by President Obama.
Also, in connection to the election, President Trump has made it clear that he might challenge the election results, and it could end up in the Supreme Court.
So Democrats have argued that if Barrett gets confirmed and if that case moves forward, that she should recuse herself from any potential case that looks at the election results because President Trump appointed her. Do you think she would ever consider that? Should she? What are the arguments on both sides of that one?
Well, I think what Judge Barrett has said is that she would evaluate any request that she recuse herself if and when the case arises. She's been very careful and cautious in her confirmation hearings not to signal or pledge how she would vote in any particular question or in any particular case. I suppose the argument would be, look, that the president just appointed her. How could she sit impartially and make the adjudication whether or not he should get reelected? On the other hand, there are codes of conduct that govern when judges or justices should recuse. There's been a little bit of precedent, in other words, history that's been built up over time that indicates the circumstances under which the justices should recuse themselves from hearing a case. I suspect that if this situation arises, and I hope to God it doesn't, but if it did arise, I think she would just make the decision based on all the facts and circumstances they were presented to her at the time.
Right, because we've never actually seen this particular circumstance before in modern history.
Well, that's right. And in my view, it's a good thing. The Supreme Court does not want to be in the business of deciding presidential elections. I don't think it's a good thing for the court. I don't think it's a good thing for the country. We had perhaps an analogous situation back in 2000 in the Bush versus Gore case. But of course, this is a little different in that here you would at least have the potential for a newly appointed justice adjudicating a case involving a president that had just appointed her to the court, which is something that we didn't have back in Bush versus Gore.
Still ahead, we talk about whether justices can truly be swayed during a case, Barrett's potential impact on the Obamacare case going before the court next month, and the pros and cons of what's known as packing the court. But first, this episode is made possible thanks to CastleGrade. If you are ready for a high level of protection from your mask for work, travel, school, or everyday errands, CastleGrade is a great option. CastleGrade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95, and they've been independently tested and proven to work. And in case you haven't heard yet, CastleGrade has a new filter available for smoke-affected areas of the West Coast. The company says the charcoal filters serve a dual purpose for stopping both virus and smoke particles. So whatever your needs, you'll be getting a mask that is reusable and eco-friendly. Instead of contributing to the billions of disposable masks and N95s being thrown out at the end of each day, you can just put your CastleGrade mask in the dishwasher for easy cleaning. And CastleGrade says these masks will not fog your glasses. Learn more at CastleGrade.com and enter the discount code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's CastleGrade.com and use code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Now, back to my conversation with Tom Dupree. So if Judge Barrett is confirmed, that would mean conservatives would have a 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court. Does that really matter? Because I know the justices are supposed to be impartial, right? Can they still be swayed?
I think the justices can be swayed. And look, you look back at our history and there are so many examples of justices who people thought would be conservative turning out to be liberal or vice versa. I mean, you look, for example, at Justices Stevens and Souter, both of whom were appointed by Republican presidents. The Democrats at the time said, oh my God, it's going to be a terrible conservative vote on the court. And lo and behold, they turned out to be two of the most reliably liberal justices on the court. On the other hand, you look at someone like Chief Justice Roberts and everyone thought he was going to be conservative. He voted in favor to uphold Obamacare. So you never quite know in any particular case which way a justice is going to go.
And speaking of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that is an issue that could go before the court next month. Do you think, assuming that Barrett gets confirmed, that her one vote could really impact that case?
Possible, but my sense is it probably isn't too likely. In some of the other cases, the court has split 5-4 on constitutional issues arising out of the Affordable Care Act and the like. But one question in this case is actually not a constitutional question. It concerns a question involving a legal rule called severability, which basically involves if you deem a portion of a statute unconstitutional, do you have to throw out the statute as a whole? On an issue like that, it's hard for me to see the justices splitting 5-4. And so for that reason, I'm a little skeptical that Justice Barrett could provide a deciding vote on an Obamacare ruling.
And one of the final things I want to ask you about is court packing, because there's been a lot of talk about that lately. Republicans have argued that Joe Biden, if he wins the presidential election and if Democrats gain control of Congress, that they might try to pack the court. So can you explain what does that mean and what impact could that have on future cases?
Yes, court packing is something that really is known to our history. You'll recall that President Franklin Roosevelt somewhat infamously attempted to pack the court back in the 1930s and 40s. Now, of course, he didn't succeed. What he was trying to do was to expand the size of the court by adding justices to it. He was unhappy that the Supreme Court at the time was ruling against him in a lot of cases, and he thought he could change the composition of the court if he put more justices on the bench. And so that's what the argument now is. The argument from the Democrats is to say, look, this is a good idea because the current composition of the court is conservative, and it's gotten that way because Republicans have done things that are unfair. They stopped Merrick Garland. They pushed Amy Barrett through. And so all we're redoing is going to restore the Supreme Court to the way it should have been by adding some additional justices. I think the argument against it is to say, look, our Supreme Court has functioned with 9 justices for a long time, going back to the Civil War. And although it's not constitutionally required that you have 9 justices, it served us very well. And if you allow one party to add seats to the court, so let's say the Democrats take us up to, 13 justices, well, then we know that when the Republicans come back into power, they're going to up the ante and make the court have 17 justices. And then the Democrats will go to 21. And before you know it, you'll have 1,000 people on the Supreme Court, which is an absolutely terrible idea. So I think we really should stick at 9 justices. It's worked for a long time now.
And at this point, even if Joe Biden wins, we don't know what would happen.
That's right. Former Vice President Biden has really kept his cards close to his vest on the whole court packing idea. Back a few years ago, he had expressed great skepticism about the idea, but now in this politically charged environment, he's very studiously avoided taking a position one way or the other. So I think we're going to have to wait and see what a President Biden would do in that situation.
A lot of good information. Final takeaway for the audience.
My final takeaway is I hope that notwithstanding all the political chaos that always seems to envelop these confirmation hearings, that people do take the opportunity to actually listen to what Amy Barrett has to say, to hear her thoughts on what it means to be a judge, how she would apply the law if she became a Supreme Court justice, and how she thinks about the Constitution. That's the reason that the founders put this advise and consent provision in our Constitution, to allow not just the senators, but the American people really take the measure of a person before they get appointed to a lifetime seat on the United States Supreme Court.
And you can learn more about our guest in today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on the process to confirm a new Supreme Court justice during our regular episodes Monday through Friday, when we provide the day's news in about 10 minutes. Thanks again for joining us. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.
Summer camp is a magic place where kids discover who they are because they have the freedom to explore on their own. Y-Camp at Horse Thief Reservoir is a sleepaway camp in the heart of Idaho's wilderness. Each summer, campers make friends, build new skills, and learn to love the outdoors through activities like canoeing, archery, zip lining, rock climbing, campfires, and more. Registration for Y-Camp at Horse Thief Reservoir is open. Financial assistance is available. Learn more at ycampidaho.org.